When thinking about the holiday season, different things may come to mind. Some may think about magnificent lights. Others may think about fantastic sales. But many of us may think about gifting, giving gifts, presents to friends, to family, maybe related to the fact that there are sales this time of year. And interestingly, this third idea of giving gifts has been the focus of rabbinic literature, much rabbinic literature, over the past few centuries. Actually, there is a sefer that was written recently, which focused on the topic of giving gifts, the question of giving gifts to non-Jews in particular. And the reason it's such an important, relevant question is because there are two relevant possible issues that may be the source, the root of this question. One is a Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says that 3 days before a non-Jewish holiday and 3 days after a non-Jewish holiday, one is not allowed to do business with idolaters. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara there, what the parameter of that prohibition is, and Tosfos on the first daf in Maseches Avodah Zarah has a whole discussion whether that rabbinic prohibition is relevant bizman hazeh. But that's a possible issue that one would have to deal with before deciding to give gifts to a non-Jewish coworker, a non-Jewish friend, specifically in this time of year when we're surrounded by so many different non-Jewish holidays. We're not going to discuss that possible prohibition. We're more going to focus on the second biblical prohibition that may be relevant, one has to consider before giving gifts to non-Jewish fellows. And that is the Torah in Parshas Va'eschanan, when describing when the Kali Yisrael are supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael and we're supposed to wage war against the seven nations who were residing in Eretz Yisrael at the time. The Torah says that there are three prohibitions, three things that Kali Yisrael have to deal with when waging war against these seven nations. One is, lo sichros lahem bris, we're not supposed to make a covenant with them. Number two, lo sischatein ba, we're not supposed to intermarry with the non-Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael. And those are somewhat straightforward. Some discussion in the Rishonim exactly the parameter of those two prohibitions in terms of making a covenant and intermarriage. And the third prohibition that the Torah describes is lo sichaneim. What does it mean, lo sichaneim? So I think art school translates lo sichaneim as to not show favor to the non-Jews. So what does it mean to not show favor to the non-Jews? So the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Chaf has three different interpretations of the phrase lo sichaneim, to not show favor, and all three are relevant, are quoted halach lamaisa. So one is the prohibition of lo sitin lahem chaniya bekarka. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. That prohibition is part of the issue with the Heter Mechira, which is on the Shemitah year, that land by some is sold to non-Jews to avoid issues of Shemitah, doing work on the land, the peros, the fruits, having a kedusha shvis. So one of the issues with the Heter Mechira is this prohibition of selling land to non-Jews. Lo sitin lahem chaniya bekarka. That's one prohibition that we learn from lo sichaneim. The second prohibition, the Gemara says, is lo sitin lahem chen, to not praise and put non-Jews on a pedestal with respect to their beauty. There's a whole discussion exactly what the parameter of that prohibition is, that it is applied to praising skills, you know, sports players, things of the like. That is a major discussion in the postgame. We're not going to discuss that today. The third prohibition is the Gemara says, lo sitin lahem matnas chinam. You're not supposed to give them a free gift. So at first glance, the Gemara seems to say that you're not allowed to, unequivocally, you're not allowed to give a non-Jew a gift. However, who does this apply to? To which non-Jews does this apply? So if you think about it, the context of the psukim is speaking about when the B'nai Yisrael are going into Eretz Yisrael and we're supposed to wage war against the seven nations who are residing in Eretz Yisrael. So one would think that the prohibition, all three prohibitions, to not make a covenant, lo sichros lahem bris, lo sischatein ba'am, to not intermarry, and lo sitin lo sichaneim, to not give them gifts, not sell them karka, one would think that those prohibitions only apply to the seven nations, because that's the context of the psukim. And that's what some assume. However, this is a major discussion in the Rishonim, the Bali Tosfos, in Maseches Avodah Zarah. and Maseches Yevamos discuss exactly whether these three prohibitions are limited to the seven nations, or maybe we can mix and match, be mechalik, say that some of the prohibitions apply to the seven nations, while others are more expansive, apply to more non-Jews. So some assume that, yeah, enachinami, this prohibition of lo sechaneim, of not giving free gifts to non-Jews, only applies to the seven nations. If that's the case, then this whole discussion is irrelevant, because I don't think your average non-Jewish coworker is a Kenani or a Chiti. Most likely, he's not or she's not a descendant of those nations. So if that's the case, if the prohibition, lo sechaneim, to not give a free gift, only applies to the seven nations, then we can stop the Shia right here. However, many Rishonim assume that the prohibition applies to all idolaters, all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Lo sechaneim, the prohibition of giving, the Torah prohibition of giving a free gift to a non-Jew any time of year, would apply to all Ovdei Avodah Zarah. If that's the case, then we have to define who is considered an Oved Avodah Zarah. Is Oved Avodah Zarah, is Avodah Zarah limited to a person who takes a statue and worships the statue? Or do we consider our Christian neighbors, our Catholic Christian neighbors, our Muslim neighbors to be idolaters? So many may be familiar. This is a major, major discussion in the Rishonim as to whether the Christians and Muslims are considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So the discussion starts in terms of Christianity. The discussion starts with the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, Andaf Samach Gimel. The Gemara says that it's aser, it's forbidden to make a partnership with a non-Jew. Why? Because if you have a partner who is a non-Jew, you may have some machlokas, some dispute with your partner, and you guys will have to take a shvua to one another to make sure that you're being honest. So when you take a shvua in the name of Hashem. Okay, so that's, and there are certain circumstances, okay. But when he takes a shvua, when she takes a shvua, she's going to swear in the name of her God, of her Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says that's a Torah prohibition, lo yishamal picha, that you're not allowed to cause others to take an oath in the name of Avodah Zarah. So that's why the Gemara says that you're not allowed to make a partnership with a non-Jew, because you may cause them, you may force them to take a shvua, an oath in the name of their deity, which would be a problem, prohibition of lo yishama al picha. That is what the Gemara says. Okay, fine. Tosus over there quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, in Maseches Sanhedrin, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, a tremendous chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam questions whether that prohibition of making a partnership with a non-Jew should apply nowadays, should apply b'zman hazeh. Why would we think that it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh? So Rabbeinu Tam says, for various reasons he thinks it doesn't apply, but one that's relevant to us is the non-Jews who were living in northern France in the 12th century, were Christians, they were Catholics. And when they were taking a shvu, when they were taking an oath in the name of God, what do they have in name? What do they have in mind? They had in mind God, Hashem. Oh, but they also had in mind other things, the Trinity, right? The Trinity. So was it the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and right, what was it? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right, exactly. So we believe in the Father, Hashem, I believe, right? The Son is Yashka, is Yeshua Notzri, and the Holy Ghost, I'm not sure what that represents. But either way, they have in mind those three things. And even though the Gemara says explicitly, Maseches Sanhedrin, that for us, we're not allowed to believe in different aspects, different deities. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the sole deity, the sole God. Nothing else runs the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yochid. There's nothing else. Nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam thinks that for non-Jews, perhaps when they take a shvua in the name of the Trinity, it wouldn't fall under the prohibition of lo yishama al picha. If we cause a non-Jew to take an oath, even if they have in mind the Trinity, even though for us that would be idolatry, but for them, maybe it wouldn't necessarily be idolatry. Now, there's a whole discussion exactly what Rabbeinu Tam means, but many understood that Rabbeinu Tam meant that even though for us that would be Avodah Zarah, to believe in the Trinity, for non-Jews, maybe the definition of Avodah Zarah is more narrow. And as long as they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if they have other things in mind as well, like Yashka, that would not necessarily fall under the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. So if that's the case, maybe Christians and Catholics would not necessarily be of the Avodah Zarah. That was the opinion of many Rishonim and Achronim who understood Rabbeinu Tam as suggesting this. Others thought Rabbeinu Tam didn't necessarily mean that, but that was a major machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach, whether Christians nowadays are of the Avodah Zarah. What about Muslims? So the Rambam famously writes, he thinks that Muslims were not of the Avodah Zarah because they believe in Hashem. They have a false prophet. They have a false prophet, they believe, but that doesn't necessarily make them to of the Avodah Zarah. The Ran, however, believed that they were of the Avodah Zarah, but Lamaisa, we assume that Muslims are not idolatrous. So if that's the case, if the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim is limited to of the Avodah Zarah, so perhaps we have room to be lenient when it comes to your average non-Jewish neighbor who is most likely to be Christian, Catholic, or Muslim. However, the problem is that many Rishonim assume that the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim to give free gifts is not limited to Ov Avodah Zarah. Rather, it applies to all non-Jews. This is the opinion of the Beis Yosef in Yerodeya, and the Shach quotes this Beis Yosef, Halach Lamaisa, that the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim giving free gifts applies to all non-Jews, even if they're not necessarily of the Avodah Zarah. And if that's the case, even if we're to be lenient with respect to certain halachos regarding Christians and Muslims, but nevertheless, when it comes to this prohibition of giving matnas chinam, giving a gift, we would have to be concerned about giving a gift to a fellow non-Jew. Now, if that's the case, then we really have to understand what exactly is the parameter of this prohibition. The Gemara just says unequivocally, lo sechaneim, that you're not allowed to give a free gift. So does that mean that we're not allowed to give our coworker, our boss, our client, our neighbor, we're not allowed to give them anything all year long, especially during the holiday season? So Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah makes a qualification. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf, qualifies this prohibition. Tosfos is bothered. He's prompted by an apparent contradiction between two Gemaras. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah seems to say unequivocally that one is not allowed to give a free gift to a non-Jew. Yet the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim seems to assume that under certain circumstances, one may give a gift. The Gemara is quoting the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the way we paskin. Rabbi Yehuda assumes that you're not allowed to give a free gift. Yet the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim says that, quotes a story that Rabbi Yehuda is allowed giving a free gift to a non-Jew. So Tosfos makes a chiluk. Tosfos distinguishes from the two Gemaras and says that perhaps the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim, to give a free gift, does not apply to what he calls makira. If it's a non-Jew that you recognize, that you know well, then the prohibition doesn't apply. Why? Why would that be? I would think fakir. I would think the opposite. You know the person. It's more of a concern. You may get buddy-buddy and it will lead to bad things. So Tosfos explains. Because since the Torah allows for mechira, one is allowed to sell to a non-Jew. The Torah says explicitly in Parshas Mishpatim that if a person has non-kosher meat, nevela, one is allowed to sell it to a goy. One is allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. So Tosfos says that if you have a coworker or a boss or a client, when you give them a gift, it's with expectation that there's going to be some form of reciprocity, right? You want to get something in return, whether it's going to be a gift in return or whether it's going to be better work, better service. That's considered mechira. That's what Tosfos says. That whenever you have a case of makiro, a non-Jew that you recognize, an acquaintance, when you give them a gift, it's with the expectation that you're going to get something in return. That is going to be mechira. That's going to be the equivalent akin to a sale. Now, one would think if that's the case, maybe that's only if it's pre-facto. If I give something in advance with the expectation that I'm going to get something in return, then that would be considered a mechira. However, if you look at the Taz in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Kufnan Aleph, quotes this Shita of Tosfos, that the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim does not apply to a non-Jew that you recognize. And this is the Lashon of the Taz, I'll read it inside and I'll translate it. The Gamze Nichla B'Lo Sechaneim, Lo Siteim Laman Aschinam, Aval Imakiro, but if you recognize the non-Jew, Lo Hava Alayu Shematan, it's not considered a gift. Ela Kemechira, it's considered like a sale. Why? Shahara Yishalim Gumulo, O Kfar Shilim Lo. Either because there's going to be some form of reciprocity, you're going to get something in return when you give that gift to the person that you recognize, or it's payment for something that you've already received, right? Meaning you want to express Hakaras HaTov for a good season of a good quarter of work. So you want to give a gift to pay back, so to speak, for the service that you received. Or let's say you're at a restaurant and you want to tip the waiter. So some poskim say you should be makbid to tip in the middle of the su'udah, in the middle of the meal. This way, you're going to expect something in return afterwards. You're going to get, you know, continue to get good service. However, most assume that you're allowed to tip even afterwards. Why? For two reasons. One is because that's the nimus, that's the derech eretz. You're not necessarily giving me a gift. That's what people do. That's the practice. But also because you're paying him for something that you received. You received good service. He was a good waiter. She was a good waitress. And you want to pay him or her for that service. So you give a tip at the end. So that would fall under this heter of the Taz. The Rishonim actually expand this heter of Makiro to other areas as well. For example, the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Gemara Maseches Gittin, tells a story that Rebbe Lezer, the Tana Rebbe Lezer, was Meshachra Avdo. He had a slave, and he needed to make a minyan. He had 9 people, and he needed an extra man. So what did he do? He took his slave, who was ostensibly non-Jewish at the time. He was an Eved Kenayni, who was a non-Jewish slave, and he freed him. He freed him, and the halacha is that when you have an Eved Kenayni, a non-Jewish slave, once he gets freed, the halacha is that he becomes Jewish. Maybe he has to go to the mikvah, but he is Jewish ostensibly. And that way, he was able to make a minyan. The problem is, there is a Torah prohibition of La'olam behem tavodu, that you're not allowed to free non-Jewish slaves. So the Gemara deals with exactly how Rebbe Lezer was able to violate that prohibition in order to facilitate, in order to make his minyan. Okay, that's the Gemara's discussion. The Rishonim are bothered by a different question. Don't you have a problem of lo sechanim? When you give a person their freedom, isn't that giving them a free gift? The Rishonim asked the question. The Rashba, Maseches Gittin ask, how could Rebbe Lezer free his non-Jewish slaves? The Gemara deals with the problem of lo'olam behem tavodu, which is freeing the prohibition to free a non-Jewish slave. What about giving him his freedom? Isn't that a problem, a prohibition of lo sechanim, giving him a free gift? That's the Rishonim ask. So the Ran explains that since you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it, Rebbe Lezer was doing it to help make his minyan, therefore that does not fall under the prohibition of lo sechanim. Why? So presumably it's rooted in this heter of Tosis. That just like Tosis says, that when you have a case of Makiro, a non-Jew that you recognize, whenever you give them a gift, it's with the expectation that you're going to get something in return, or you're paying him back for something that he already received, so it's akin to a Mechira, it's akin to a sale. So too, whenever you are giving a non-Jew, whenever you're giving a non-Jew a gift, but it's for your purpose, to facilitate your mitzvah, so then, since it's for yourself, it's akin to a mechira, like the Torah allows for mechira explicitly. What's interesting is, what time do we have until?
No one knows.
Okay, we'll go for a few minutes because I know it's a little over. What's interesting, though, is that the... I know, but I don't want to hold people up. So what was that? 45. What time is it now? 36. So what's interesting is that the Torah and the Gemara, when discussing this prohibition of a lo sechanim, it seems to be an unequivocal prohibition, right? That the Torah says across the board that you're not allowed to give a free gift to a non-Jew. Yet the Rishonim seem to chip away at this prohibition, right? We had Tosas Heter, that whenever you have a case of Makiro, when you ever have a case of one that you recognize, it's akin to a Mechira. And the Ran in Maseches Gittin seems to say that as long as you're doing it for your mitzvah purpose, you're doing it for yourself, it doesn't fall under the prohibition of Manaskinim giving a free gift to a non-Jew. So what's that? What's the idea? Where do we get this heter from? Doesn't the Torah just say unequivocally, across the board, Ba'ofen Grufa, that it's usher to give a non-Jew a free gift? So the Sefer HaChinuch has an idea where he explains the root of the prohibition, of all three prohibitions we learn from the Pasuk Lo Sechanim, which again, the Gemara says three prohibitions. One, to not give them land in Eretz Yisrael. Two, to not praise them. And three, And three, to not give them a free gift. And the Sefer HaChinuch has this idea, which he quotes and mentions throughout the Sefer. Acharei ha'pu'los nimshachim ha'levavos. Often, our actions influence the way we think, our values. That's why there are so many mitzvos which demand of us to act a certain way. Mitzvos, most often, are not here. They're here. They're with action. We have to do things. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains throughout the Sefer that acharei ha'pu'los, after one's actions, nimshachim halavavos, one's thoughts follow, one's values follow. That our actions are supposed to dictate and help us formulate our thoughts and values. So the Sefer HaChinuch says over here that the idea of these three prohibitions that we learn from the pasuk of Lo Sechaneim is that even though it's very important and essential to engage in the outside world, right? We all find ourselves in some form, engaged with non-Jews, in the workplace, with neighbors, whatever the case may be. Nevertheless, the Jewish people are special. The Jewish people have special values. And the Torah, Chazal, certainly. You know, we have so many rabbinic prohibitions where Chazal were concerned about, intermarriage and mingling with non-Jews. But even we have sometimes Torah prohibitions where the Torah was concerned, the Torah didn't want us to be nimshach, to be drawn after non-Jewish values. And therefore, because of that, the Torah gave the prohibition of Lo Sechaneim. When we're living in Eretz Yisrael and we have sovereignty, we should try to make sure that we have a Jewish state. A Jewish state means with Jewish people, to not have non-Jews living amongst us because they're going to potentially taint our value system, which we derive, we glean from purely from the Torah. Also, that's why we're not supposed to start praising non-Jews. Again, whatever the parameter of that prohibition is, but the idea is whatever we speak about, that is what's going to determine what we value. What we speak about on a daily basis. If someone who only speaks about Torah, it's clear, it's indicative of the fact that he values or she values Torah, and also continue to influence what a person values. But if you speak about Dvarim Shel Mabakach, so then, things of inconsequence, then those are going to be the things that you value. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, because of that, that's why the Torah also prohibited giving gifts. Because when it comes to giving gifts, this is, marriage. I've only been married for 7.5 years, something like that. Not so many years, something like that. Marriage 101 is that when you do something for your spouse, right? So obviously they'll appreciate it, but it'll also help you value and love your spouse when you do something for someone. So that fosters a good feelings, and will also cause you to love the person, care for the person even more. Acharei pe'ulos nimshachim halavavos. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's why the Torah doesn't want us to stam give gifts to non-Jews, because it's going to, theoretically, it can cause us to developing deep loving relationships, which you're supposed to love, all people. But there are certain people that you should love even more. You should love Jewish people even more, especially because we share values, we share Torah values. And even though you're supposed to be cordial and supposed to be kind to everyone, everyone's creed and b'tzelem elokim, but there are certain values that we don't want to inculcate from the outside world. And by giving gifts without expecting any reciprocity, without expecting anything in return, then that may cause us to adopt certain values which are foreign to the Torah. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, embellishing a little bit, perhaps that's why we have these dispensations of the Rishonim. That's why Tosfos explains that in a case of Makiro, in a case of someone that you recognize, you're allowed to give the free gift. Why? Because Tosfos explains it's akin to a sale. And the Ran says that you're allowed to give a gift when you're expecting something in return. You're expecting to be able to fulfill your mitzvah. The idea is that when you're giving something you're giving something to a non-Jew, and the expectation is you're going to receive something in return, whether it be another gift, you're paying him or her for a service that you received, or you're trying to fulfill a mitzvah that you accomplished, it's not necessarily going to lead to this concern that the Sefer HaChinuch is describing, because what you have in mind is you're getting something out of this gift. It's not going to necessarily foster or lead to a deep, loving relationship, but it's going to be with the expectation that you're going to receive something in return. Just to end off with this, the beautiful pasuk in Parshas Balak that Bilam says, and has intended to curse the Klal Yisrael. Ki meirush tsurim erenu migvos asherenu hen am levadat yishkon uvagoyim lo yischashav. That Bilam praised Klal Yisrael for being separate amongst the nations. Yes, of course, like we said before, and that we're supposed to engage the world, and we're supposed to influence, we're supposed to benefit from the world, and we're supposed to be an Orla Goyim. But at the same time, we're all supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be distinct in our values. We're supposed to be distinct in our ways, in our observance of Torah mitzvos. And perhaps with a better appreciation of the sugya of Los Achanim, of when and how one is allowed to give gifts to non-Jewish coworkers, clients, bosses, we will be able to appreciate exactly what our goal is, what our job is in this world, to be separate, to have our values which we glean from the Torah, but at the same time to express Hakar Satov and to engage in the world in large. Okay, everyone should have a... Yeah.
Rabbi, just one thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.